All right, on this episode of the Autumn Windbags, I am broadcasting from Yaz Island, Fight Island in Abu Dhabi. If you can hear that in the background, props to you. We're going to talk about our expectations for newly hired defensive coordinator Gus Bradley. We will recklessly spread Deshaun Watson rumors. And Soto asks the question, is Derek Carr a Super Bowl winning quarterback? Also, this episode is brought to you by our friends at Nirvana CBD. Go to www.nirvanacbd.com. Use promo code AW20 for 20% off. Nirvana CBD, find your state of natural relaxation. And we really appreciate you subscribing, rating, and commenting on whichever platform you choose to listen to. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
There it is! Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto. All right, welcome back. Finally, you got the Autumn Windbags, latest episode. First away game of 2021. I am currently in Abu Dhabi, Fight Island, a.k.a. Yaz Island. Working for the UFC.
Yas, the Yas, next week.
Yas queen. Yas. And yeah, it's a backwards society. The light switches, you click them down to turn them on. The sodas are in like Red Bull skinny cans, as you can see if you're on video. It's a backwards society, Soto.
You know what? Having 17 minutes of this podcast without recording.
So I'm playing it off like no big deal. We recorded 17 minutes of this podcast. I forgot to hit the record button.
Dude,
I can confirm it's on
best.
Now.
It was my best. I think it was my best work of the podcast so far.
I think I saved you. You're kind of shitty to start. So I'm glad I'm glad all the time.
So it doesn't really matter. But we're back, man. We're back, baby.
We're back. Here. I'm currently quarantined. It's been like 30 something hours. You have to do 48 hours of quarantine when you get to Abu Dhabi because of COVID. And now we're, another 18 hours or so. I'm so desperate for human contact. I was actually looking forward to doing this podcast with you, Soto. That's how desperate I am to talk to another human being.
For me? God damn.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you that I asked you the first time. Maybe you'll have a better answer this time.
Doubtful.
Do you have any clean towels left? Notice that you are in a hotel room by yourself for 30 hours and counting.
So you're saying that I'm like washing a lot? Is that why you're asking about my dirty towels? Is it because you think I'm making messes and clean? Oh, you mean that I'm, that's gross. Soto, that's disgusting. How dare you? Oh, that's gross.
Well, because I know you, that's why I ask.
Yeah. Well, it's, so I have a 15-month-old daughter. It's my first kid. And when you're starting to have kids for the first time, every guy with kids tells you the same story. Get your sleep in now. You're not going to sleep when you have a kid. Yuck, 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 knee slapper. Like they're the first guys ever to say it. Mm-hmm. What they don't tell you, and this is information that I'm more than happy to share to all the aspiring and future fathers out there. This is the advice that you're not going to get on other podcasts. So you're welcome. This is why you subscribe to the best Raiders podcast in the business.
Boom, boom.
Is don't worry about the sleep. Get your personal pleasure time in now. Get your jerk off time in now. Because when you have a kid, either your girl or your baby is always around. So you have no time to do your personal pleasure business. Get that time in now. So now that I told you that story, every time I'm in a hotel room, it is like serial killer level jerk sessions. I mean, I'm just like, oh God, it is a war scene in these hotel rooms. It is brutal. Like I feel bad for whoever has to clean up my room after me. Cause I've got months of pent up in me.
So you just drop it on the floor or you drop it on a towel or you catch it or what do you do?
Because I'm in quarantine, I'm so bored. I try to make a game out of it. You know, like how far can I get this one? Can I get this one in the coffee cup?
You have targets set up.
Yeah, can I get this one in the coffee cup across the way?
You're a sick man, RJ. You're a sick man.
Can this one go like through this napkin? Like, can I projectile hard enough to like break through like a tissue paper?
How much you got left?
Well, you got to make do with what you got, Soto.
I agree. 100%.
Speaking of pleasuring ourselves, got a new defensive coordinator. Gus Bradley, formerly of the Legion of Boom in Seattle. He just recently came off of the Chargers. He was obviously head coach for the Jaguars in a rough three-run season. Pretty fast hire. It only took about a week and a half from when the season ended. And they picked up Gus Bradley. Obviously, him and John Gruden know each other from the Buccaneers in the early 2000s. So what do you make of Gus coming as DC?
Looking at it optimistically, I think it can be a very good hire. I don't want to judge him on his last season here with the Chargers simply because he had a lot of his key guys out for long stretches. Even when they came back, they weren't the same. Bosa wasn't the same. Ingram wasn't the same. Didn't have Derwin James. So I'm not going to judge him off of that. He was the OG defensive coordinator for the first 4 years of the Legion of Boom. That was a completely turned around defense from not a very good defense to, the Legion of Boom, right? A ball hawking defense. It just smells like, for how fast it was, it smells like another good old boy Gruden hire. Now, on the positive side, he is, unlike Gunther, he is someone who has head coaching experience, right? Mm-hmm. And who has had success at multiple teams being a defensive coordinator. He is more equipped to have carte blanche on the defense. But I'm not super thrilled about the fact that Gruden's just bringing a guy in to just say, take care of this and I'll just take care of the offense. I still would, he's better equipped than Gunther to do it, but I'm still not thrilled about it.
Well, where was he on your list of prospective defensive coordinators?
Third? He was third. I knew Raheem Morris wasn't going to get it. I think Raheem Morris is going to get a head coaching job. I mean, he deserves
Probably.
I really like Joe Barry. I really like Joe Barry because he is a kind of an unsung part of the defensive coaching staff with the number one ranked defense in the Rams. And they don't look like they're going to slow down anytime soon. But he doesn't fit that mold, that Gruden mold. He doesn't have the experience. He wasn't a defensive coordinator before. He doesn't quite have that tape to look at. Okay, I trust this guy to just take the reins and run with it. I don't have to worry about him. He is going to have to be a guy, even if he's better than everyone else by head and shoulders, he is going to be a guy that Gruden is going to have to look after a little bit more because he doesn't have that history. And Gruden likes that out of his players, out of his coaches, out of his water boys, everybody. So that was my pick because that was my ask and that was my wish. I really didn't think he was going to be the hire. So if you want to ipso facto, Bradley was the clear choice in that respect, because I really do think Morris is going to get a head coaching job. I think maybe Barry is another year or two away from getting a DC job somewhere.
Well, look, this is the conundrum that you face every single time you hire any coach, right? Defensive coordinator, head coach, whatever. You either do one of two things. You either hire somebody who's young and inexperienced and you give them their first shot when they don't have a very proven track record, but you see something in them, the conversation, the interview went great, or you know them really well, you know there's something there, you know there's a spark there, something like that. Or if you have to hire somebody with a lot of experience, they're available for a reason. I mean, Gus, the Chargers defense, you thought the Raiders gave up leads late in games. That's exactly what the Chargers did. How much of that was Gus Bradley's fault is up to interpretation. So that's what I'm saying is there's no perfect choice. You're either getting someone who's unproven, which means they don't have any bad track record, or you get somebody who was just fired because their unit didn't perform. Right. So it's like, there's never, ever a perfect situation. Yes.
Well, in that respect too, you have to look at what the offense, because the games that the Chargers lost late, they just stopped scoring.
Yeah.
They got so conservative offensively. So it wasn't like the defense got worse. The defense was playing the same. It just, the offense stopped scoring on most of those, especially the one of the Broncos. God damn, that was the bad one. Let the Broncos come back on you. Jesus.
That's embarrassing.
No, man. Yeah, that was really bad. But I don't see that as a Gus Bradley issue, because his defense with his top three guys, arguably his top three players out for extended stretches of time, one out the entire year. When they came back, they weren't 100%. And you can tell they weren't 100% when they came back. So it's like, I'm not going to shit on them for that. But I mean, I don't put those late losses on Bradley. The defense was doing what they were doing the whole game. The offense just stopped scoring.
So it comes down to what are the expectations for Gus Bradley and the defense in this next season, the 2021 season? Because I was having this conversation with a buddy of mine here in Las Vegas, and we were watching week 3 or 4. It was a Thursday night game when it was the Bengals versus Browns. It was like this crazy offensive game. Everyone was scoring. It was wild, awesome game. Right. And my buddy Ryan, he's saying, yeah, I believe in Joe Burrow. Like, he's the man. I think he's going to turn this franchise around. It's going to be awesome. And I said, I think Joe Burrow is awesome too. But you just said, you just gave him the highest possible expectation you can. Like, there's different types of good quarterbacks. There's, you know, winning percentage quarterbacks, record breaking quarterbacks, Pro Bowl quarterbacks, Super Bowl quarterbacks. The biggest quarterback, the best quarterback out of all of them is the franchise altering quarterback. To take a franchise that has, you know, a decade or so or years of just terrible play, not winning, no playoffs, losing record, bad ownership, bad GM, bad coaches, and turn that around. Aaron Rodgers isn't a franchise-altering quarterback. He took a good franchise and won a Super Bowl and played great. Ben Roethlisberger, not a franchise-altering quarterback. He took a good franchise and played great. To say Joe Burrow is a franchise-altering quarterback is
too early to say, man.
It's very early to say, and is the highest thing you can give. So I told you that story, so I can tell you this story. The Raiders have had a top 10 defense twice in the last 30 years. That's not a John Gruden problem. That's not a Paul Gunther problem. That's not a Carl Nassib problem. That's not a Jonathan Abram problem. That is a franchise ownership organization.
Yeah, that's a Davis problem right there.
That is a Davis problem. Al or Mark, right? Both. And so when you ask, what's the expectations of Gus Bradley? If he gives us, you know, if he turns in a top 10 defense or something incredible, that is unfucking believable to be able to pull something like that off. If he makes the defense relatively respectable, bottom end of an average defense, that's a huge win considering how bad the Raiders defense has been. I'm 37 years old. They've had a terrible defense for the bulk of my life. Right. Even playoff games and Super Bowl teams, they've had a terrible defense for as long as I have a memory. Right. Back when I was picking my nose to be able to just make the defense semi decent would be a huge win for Gus Bradley. And he's in a position to do it considering how bad Paul Gunther's defense was the last three seasons. I mean, they were bottom three in the league 2 out of the 3 seasons he was defensive coordinator. He's in a great position to look decent. All he has to do is make the Raiders defense kind of not terrible. And that's a big win considering the situation he's in.
Well, the thing is, it's not just the fact that Paul Gunther's defenses were bad. It's why they were bad. Mm-hmm. And just looking at just from the eyeball test without any of the insider perspective, the Will Compton, the Max Crosby stuff, all that stuff that's coming out without any of that stuff. Right. We were talking, you and I and Rory were talking about how they were chattering. The defense was chattering up until the snap. And it looked like they were out of position, lost, unsure. And he was been there for years. They're young players, but it's the reason why they were bad. Not just that they were bad. It's the reason why they were bad. And that was one of the things that Gruden said. He wanted a guy that can teach. He wanted a guy that can develop. He's comfortable with Gus Bradley being able to do that. He did it with Seattle. He did it quickly with Seattle right away. They were one of the top defenses right away. And their big thing there was taking the ball away, the ball hawks. And I'm cautiously optimistic. I am going for a high teens rated defense his first year. And reason being, you can't shit the bed on all these draft picks. You can't shit them.
It's just mathematically impossible. There's no way the Raiders can pull it off. Can they?
In the top 3 rounds the last 3 years, they've had something like stupid, like 9 or 10, like a lot of defensive players drafted the first 3 rounds the last 3 years. You can't shit the bed on all of them. Okay. We can't. I mean, you can. I mean,
Lord knows they're trying.
Yeah, they're trying. But I mean, it's like we can't, not being not being there every day, not being in the ins and outs of the team, we can't appreciate how much of a factor Gunther was with the underperforming defense. All we can do is the eyeball test, and even we were able to pick it out. Us 3-8ers were able to pick out, dude, these fucking defenses know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, he's gonna be that guy that just, you know what, you take care of the defense, I'll take care of the offense. Gruden's gonna tell him that. And I mean, he's equipped to do it. We'll see.
Well, and again, like, and I've been saying this on this show for as long as the show's been around, we better hope that Paul Gunther was the problem, because the defense, as terrible as it is, it's chock full of first rounders and expensive free agents, right? They're not going to move on from Damon Arnette if we suck next season. They're not going to move on from Jonathan Abram if we suck next season. They're not going to move on from Clay Ferrell if we suck next season. They're not going to eat the dead money of Corey Littleton and Nick Witkowski and, you know, all these other guys. Like, they're just not going to do it. It doesn't make business sense. So they have to hope that Paul Gunther was the problem. Gus Bradley doesn't even have to be the solution. He just has to not make it worse. Just keep it simple. Because this, the players on this team, it's like, you know, we'll get some new interior defensive linemen. Hopefully we'll get a veteran free safety, which we desperately need. Like, we'll definitely add, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We'll add, whether through the draft and free agency.
Justin Simmons, please.
But we're not going to just wipe the slate clean. Franchises just don't do that with what they've committed to this defense. So
no.
We have to hope that Gus Bradley doesn't take this thing down. My biggest concern with Gus Bradley, my biggest knock on him, he's too nice. I don't like it. I don't like a defensive coach to be too nice. I want him to spit when he talks. I want him to yell at people. I want linebackers to fear that, like, Brad, like, your defensive coordinator is going to legitimately punch you in the face if you miss a tackle. Yeah, every time he talks, he's smiling. Like, every interview he's given, he laughs during the answer. I don't like it. I want mean.
Well, I'll tell you something right now. He was with Pete Carroll in Seattle, and me being a USC fan, I was at every one of those SC Pete Carroll SC games. You will not find a more hyped up coaching staff than the SC Pete Carroll coaching staff and the Pete Carroll, Gus Bradley, Seahawks staff. Those guys were all over the place. And it was just the culture that they built. Everyone's trying to outdo one another. But everyone's hyped on each other when another one of the teammates makes a play. It wasn't like, oh crap, he made the play, I didn't make it. It's like, oh crap, you made that play, sweet. Everyone's hyped up. That's where he's coming from. I hope that he's coming from of a position of confidence, that he knows what he's doing. He can get in there and make it happen. Okay, so what I was really focusing on, Gus Bradley, they posted a clip of his interview on the Raiders Instagram page, and he was saying how, talking about the interview process with Gruden, with Mayock, with Davis, and how they all had the same vision of getting these young players to perform well. Mm-hmm. So that's probably going to be, you know, the end to any high-priced free agents. I wanted Justin Simmons. I wanted Leonard Williams. I thought they were going to really help out. They could, two unrestricted free agents that can really help the team at positions of need. Maybe we'll get one, and we'll get the other. Hopefully we can get both. But it's getting these young guys to perform. My thing is, we need, his big task is to put Jonathan Abram in a position to be a player on this defense. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be in coverage, because he's already shown, even out of control, hair on fire, not knowing what he's doing half the time, Jonathan Abram can record 15 tackle games consistently.
Yeah.
And there's
everyone
all
else
the
is missing
secondary
tackles. So he's, well, left. So he's the only one left.
To be fair, they're not all in the secondary.
Yeah.
He does get some at the line of scrimmage and some for loss as well.
Yeah, because he's bailing on coverage, chasing after a quarterback.
You know what? When it works, it works. So he's going to be a glorified linebacker, I think. They're going to treat him like a glorified type linebacker. And
coach the team you have, not the team you want.
Exactly. These are the guys we have. How do we get these guys to perform the best? I think in that perspective, this is a good hire. And because Gruden has the familiarity, level of comfort with him, having worked with him in the past, him having the pedigree of having top defenses, big. And you know, what else did Gruden say in this interview? He wants a defensive coordinator that can generate big plays.
Yeah.
And you don't get much bigger a defense that does that than the Legion of Boom defense. Again, we don't have the same personnel yet.
Not even close.
But, you know, there's a little bit of time left, so we'll see.
Yeah, I hope he does, because he's got, you know, his basic, you know, cover three system dependent on four down linemen to get pressure. I hope he is flexible, because we just don't have – we just don't generate pressure with our defensive line. It just doesn't happen, right? Maybe it was all Paul Gunther's fault. Maybe Max Crosby's going to return to his rookie form. Maybe Clay Ferrell continues to improve. Maybe we pick up some interior defensive linemen that can get pressure, and then his scheme will work. Again, hoping it was a Gunther problem, not a Bradley problem, but flexibility is going to be crucial. But again, I just want him to strike fear in his defense. You know, like if you miss a tackle, I want to institute a rule. If you miss a tackle, you get wedgied on the sideline. Humiliated and pain. I want emotional and physical punishments for errors.
What about a Fredgie, a front wedgie?
Front wedgie? How about if you miss a sack, it's a front wedgie, because then it splits your balls in two on your sack. And then if you miss your gap assignment, you miss your hole, then it's a back wedgie. So the punishment fits the crime.
I get it. I like
that. You know what I mean?
Get Bradley on the phone. Get Bradley on the phone.
We should be defensive consultants. What are they? Quality control coaches? Is that the name of the job that they give, like, coaches' sons, just so you can give them a job and get them on staff and give them a salary?
Special assistant.
Yeah. It's like the turnover chain, but reversed. Like instead of positive reinforcement, I want negative reinforcement. Don't do bad, or we will split your butthole in half with your own jock strap.
Woo.
You know what I mean?
I mean,
just imagine Bradley with a big smile on his face, giving a wedgie to like a 330-pound nose guard. That'd be awesome. That's the kind of football I can watch.
Love it.
So general expectations for Gus Bradley, pretty low. The other big story this week, and I don't know if it's like, it's, I don't think it's going to happen, but anytime like a big name quarterback makes a stink about potentially going somewhere, it's news. Deshaun Watson of the Texans. I'm still not exactly sure what he's pissed off about. Like, he's mad that they didn't consult him when hiring a coach. He doesn't like ownership. It sounds like, any real relationship problems, you hear like tidbits of what's wrong, but there's probably 1,000 little things under the surface he's not talking about that's really pissing him off. Deshaun Watson apparently maybe wants a trade, wants to get out of Houston. And so obviously all Raider fans are just, you know, the mentally jizzing their pants that maybe we can get Deshaun freaking Watson in the silver and black. What do you make of this whole thing?
I mean, from what I understand, there was a process set in place. I think he was upset that Houston was the only franchise to not interview Eric Bieniemy for the head coaching position, which is okay. You may already think about the ownership, maybe not being as socially conscious. That's an issue. Mm-hmm. I guess they had a consulting firm that they paid a lot of money for to vet and give recommendations on a new GM. And it should have been Khan, right? From the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
But again, person of color. But it was nixed by the owner. He said, nope, I don't want him. I want this guy who was not even in the running from the consulting firm that you paid to give you the recommendation. So that's another thing. Again, maybe it's like those could be the straws that broke the camel's back. But I mean, from an outsider perspective looking in, it does seem like this is kind of a good old boys network type of thing. Maybe he just got tired of it. He's the one that's there every day. I think he even said that he would contemplate retiring so he can get a trade somewhere else. He doesn't want to play there anymore.
So he's got a $156 million contract. He's made about $30 million or so far. So if he wants to play hard, because really that's what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to say like, all right, I'm going to sit. Either trade me or I'm not going to play for anybody. I mean, he'd have to do that, right? When you're an owner of an NFL franchise, like you don't want, like, you've obviously got your, contract with a players association, the collective bargaining agreement, like there's certain rules you follow, but outside of that, you want to play as hardball as possible because you don't want to let other players know, like, oh, if you cause a stink, we'll break and let you get what you want.
Yeah. Right? You don't set the precedent.
It's like, who blinks first, right? I mean, I'm almost positively going to figure this out with Deshaun Watson, whether it's letting him pick the head coach or just a sit down with ownership, something like that, because you've got, like, he led the league in passing on a terrible team when they traded away DeAndre Hopkins, his best receiver, and an atrocious defense. Like, he was running for his life, just throwing darts all season. I mean, and if you did, like, look, he'd have to be super pissed off and willing to put his money where his mouth is. Like, that's like, there's three ways you vote, right? There's three ways you vote: with your words, with your actions, and with your dollar. Anyone can vote with their words. It means nothing. Actions mean a lot more. Dollar means the most.
Most, yeah.
But right now, Deshaun Watson's just on the first one. It's just all words right now, right? For it to escalate to action and sacrificing money to get what he wants, that's a giant step. I'm not saying it's impossible, but we're talking about a giant leap here from, like, voicing how disgruntled you are to potentially sacrificing tens of millions of dollars to get what you want. That's a huge step.
The report, the ESPN's Adam Schefter reported that this was a very real possibility. And I mean, shit, man, for it to go up all the way that high, I don't think Shefty's the kind of guy that's going to jump on shit. So,
well, Shefty's also a journalist, and he has to, like, and this isn't a knock on Adam Schefter at all. This is how every journalist works. He's got relationships. I'm going to pull the curtain back a little bit here. He's got relationships. Those
meat curtains back.
Right? With one of those front wedgies from Gus Bradley. He has relationships, obviously, with coaches, GMs, agents, etc. And the way that journalists work is they go to let's say a manager or an agent and say, here's some info you don't have. Now you give me some info I don't have. That's the relationship you get. Schefter goes, you know, to Drew Rosenhaus and says, oh yeah, I think the Patriots are going to trade this guy. Rosenhaus says, oh wow, well, I'm planning on trading, my client's planning on this trade, right? And so that's how it works. And so when guys like Adam Schefter say something like that, it could easily be just Deshaun Watson's agent saying, hey, here's a scoop. I want you to say this. And it's not like Schefter's lying, right? The agent is saying, like, hey, this is my client's intention. And he's reporting his client's intention, but sometimes they don't use the extra context of the conversation because they're trying to do a solid for that agent. Again, not lying. I'm not saying these guys are shady. I'm just saying I work in this industry. That's how the journalistic industry works. And that's honestly the healthiest way it works.
All right.
So, well, and the idea that the Raiders would take him, like,
we ain't getting them anyway. So
thank you. It's like, I'm sick of looking at, like, these Facebook groups and Reddit forums of Deshaun Watson in silver and black. Watson. Come on.
We're not getting Deshaun Watson.
And this is like a 5% chance. If Deshaun Watson does get traded, it's going to take like 3 first round draft picks to get him.
It takes a lot.
Would Deshaun Watson want to go to Vegas with a terrible defense? If he has problems with bad defense and bad ownership, he's going to want to go to play for the Raiders. Like, I bleed silver and black. I love this team, but the problems he has in Houston, I don't know if they're going to go away in the desert.
I mean, that's why I think the Dolphins were a destination that were talked about, because they have the capital. They have the draft pick capital. They have a quarterback to send back. A young guy that they can, you know, hopefully build around if they like Tua. Good defense. I mean, the pieces are there. Minority head coach. I mean, check.
Yeah. The only reason I want this completely unsubstantiated, zero chance of happening, Deshaun Watson to the Raiders rumor to continue, because I feel like Derek Carr plays best when he's getting shit on. Like, when he came to Vegas, he kept talking about how pissed he was. That it was all like, he goes to Vegas before the season, and the thing and the quarterback on the front page is Tom Brady, not Derek Carr. And so what did he do? He played a career season. So I like how Henry Ruggs and Damon Arnett liked the photo on social media of Deshaun Watson in silver and black. I hope Derek Carr sees it. I hope it pisses him off. And he has another career year next season. And still you're going to shit on him.
I mean, if he's bad in the red zone again, yeah.
He was good in the red zone, just poor later on. The whole offense. Ooh, God. When John Gruden's putting together like 1 yard outs for Jason Witten in the red zone, when you got Foster Moreau sitting on the bench, just like
when you have the ball in your hand and that's the one you throw to, then okay. It wasn't like all the routes or the roots, as Rory would say.
Roots.
It was like all the roots were running short, you know, like, okay, I don't want to shit on Carr today. I told myself I wasn't going
to
shit on Carr.
See, I was egging you on. I was trying to get you to.
I'm not going
to
do it.
It doesn't take a lot of instigation to get you to shit on Carr.
Look, I'm
like twisting you around to get to a strip club. It takes very little. It doesn't take a lot of imagination. What do you think strippers are doing during quarantine? No, they can't work.
Eating and doing drugs.
This is a large population of people with very high spending ability. Like strippers ain't poor. You know what I mean? Just imagine how bad the economy is doing.
Right. That's money that's going directly into the hands of Guess and Chanel and Louis Vuitton and
liposuction
and fake titties and fake butts and vagina reconstruction,
hair extensions,
laser
hair removal,
glittery lotion.
They're adding hair on top while eliminating hair down below.
There's
a whole industry being supported. You know what I mean?
It happens, man.
Like when strippers stop working, it's like when the Fed raises interest rates. Everything just kind of falls apart in the economy.
Okay, so you brought this up, not me. You brought Derek Carr up, okay?
I thought you said you weren't going to shit on him, but okay.
No, I'm not shitting on him.
Okay, good. I'll hear it.
I want to talk about something real quick.
Okay.
I don't think Derek Carr is a bad quarterback because he's not, okay? But that's when the question has to be asked, what do you want from this franchise? Do you want this franchise to be a perennial playoff contender, or do you want them to be a Super Bowl winning contending team consistently? Now, you can't win every freaking year, but you can be a team that's talked about to be late in the season playing every year, right?
Okay.
So I did a little research. Rory's not here, so I got to do this. The last 30 years.
Did you put a pencil behind your ear every time you do this, just so I get like a visual cue? Okay. There you go, Patricia.
So. The last 30 years, Super Bowl winning quarterbacks have either, one, been a generational talent at quarterbacks.
Super Bowl winning teams.
Super Bowl winning teams have either had a generational.
Push the pencil to the other ear. It's making you dyslexic. There we go.
How's that?
Now we're ready.
Okay, so Super Bowl winning teams have either had a generational talent at quarterback or a top three defense. Now, there's only one exception, and that was the Joe Flacco-led Ravens team. But
they weren't a top three defense, that Ravens
team. No, they were number 12. But
really? I thought they were so good.
No, they had 12. Well, they were older, and a lot of them were hurt early. They had Nata, Upshaw, Suggs, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed. They had generational talent on defense. Yes, they had players, five of them on defense at least. So that's kind of like the abnormality. But all the other ones, if you go down the list, they're either a generational talent at quarterback or a top, I think four defense was the lowest rated defense. It was number four. So if you take a look at it from that perspective, let's take a look at the teams that are left in the playoffs. Okay, so let's start with the NFC. Okay. The Rams, number one ranked defense. They qualify, right? Okay. The Packers, generational talent at quarterback.
Yep.
They qualify. Okay. Let's go the Saints, a generational talent at quarterback. Past his prime, but you combine that with the number five defense. Okay. I can see that, right?
A little wiggle room.
Yep. A little wiggle room. And you got the Saints, generational talent at quarterback, past his prime. I'm sorry. The Tampa had the number eight defense. The Saints have the number five defense. So they do have generational talents past their prime, but they also augment that with the top 10 defense. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the NFC. So all of those qualify. Okay. Let's take a look at the AFC. AFC, we have the Ravens, who have the number two defense. So they qualify.
Yep.
By those numbers, the Bills have no shot. They don't have a generational talent at quarterback yet. We don't know yet. And they don't have a top three defense. Okay. We also have the Browns, who have no shot. I don't think anyone thinks they have a shot of winning. They don't have a generational talent at quarterback.
Juju Smith-Schuster didn't think they did.
Right?
Bad juju.
And they, bad juju, and they don't have a top three defense. The Chiefs do have a generational talent at quarterback.
Yep.
So out of the eight teams that are left, six of them qualify, and I would be absolutely fucking shocked if the Bills or the Browns won the Super Bowl this year. It's going to be one of the other teams that do qualify. So that's if you want to be a perennial Super Bowl contending team, you need to have one or the other. You need to have one or the other. You need to have a generational talent at quarterback, or you need to have a top three defense. If you want to say four, because I think 1 year, Mark Rippon had the number four defense for the Washington Redskins. Okay, so top four.
Okay. Okay. Obviously, having a great quarterback and a great defense helps you win Super Bowls, right? No doubt. No question there. We all want those things. But I see three holes in your argument. One, it's just not true, because I think a lot of quarterbacks, we call them like Hall of Fame, you know, generational quarterbacks because they won Super Bowls. Like, you look at Eli Manning, he has a 500 record, but he won two Super Bowls and his last name is Manning. So it's like, oh, he's going to the Hall of Fame, generational quarterback. He's not, but he played lights out at the right time. Okay. So I think it's like the chicken and the egg. We're going in reverse. Like, we're calling certain guys generational quarterbacks because they won Super Bowls.
Okay. Let's take a look at them then. I mean, Eli was one. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what's another one? You have what? Troy Aikman, Brett Favre, Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, look at Peyton Manning, who needed what, 10 years before he won a Super Bowl. So he was, you know what I mean? Steve Young needed a long time before he won a Super Bowl. I mean, Derek Carr can still that guy.
Steve Young won his second year being the starter with the 49ers.
Okay, so it wasn't that long. But like you look at like, but a lot of quarterbacks, like, it took him. John Elway, he was a failure until, you know, he won two with the Broncos later on. Okay, right.
That's fine. Like, if you think, and I'm not saying Derek Carr can't be that guy, because his stats right now, the way they are, this is an instance where the defense can help the offense, right? Mm-hmm. If the defense holds a team down, then the opposing defense is going to have to take more chances, which is going to make them probably look better, be a little bit better, higher rated, have better stats. Okay, fine. I'm not saying Derek Carr can't be that guy, but you have to have one or the other. And what can you get to quicker? Can you get your defense to play that way, or can you get Derek Carr with the defense they have to be a generational quarterback?
Well, look, you can't implode this offense. You were seventh in points per drive. Like, this isn't an offense you implode. This is an offense, and it's trending up. It's all young players, presumably, are going to get better. A quarterback who's gotten better every season under John Gruden, a line that, despite being devastated by injuries and COVID, was one of the better pass blocking lines. The run game didn't, you know, the run game went down a notch, and Derek Carr played better. The offense got better with the deep. So, like, this isn't an offense you want to implode. Second to that, and I get what you're saying, but the action to your theory is to change quarterback, which, again, one, don't do it because Carr's playing lights out. Two, are you counting on John Gruden to identify either and then draft or pick up in free agency and then develop a quarterback that's going to be better than Derek Carr?
I have zero faith.
I don't trust him. You know how many times in 22, you know how many times John Gruden has picked up a quarterback on his own and turned him into a good quarterback? Rich Gannon. That's it. That's literally the only quarterback. And that was 22 years ago. Remember, it was 1999. That's the only time John Gruden has ever hand selected a quarterback and turned him into a winner. Only time. So, like, look at this way. Like, look at the quarterbacks he currently picked up on the Raiders. Marcus Mariota gave a ton of money for three quarters of play.
Nathan fucking Peterman.
And Nathan Peterman! This is who John Gruden is picking up. Luckily, John Gruden didn't get to pick his quarterback. Luckily for Raiders fans, Gruden didn't get to pick his quarterback.
So here's the thing. I'm not saying Carr's not the guy. I'm saying if you had to choose a direction. So now what you're saying is if we want to be that we want to be that perennial Super Bowl contending team, is Gus Bradley the guy to bring us a top three defense? Let's just say top five, a top five defense. Is he the guy?
He's done it before.
Yes.
Can he do it with the Raiders?
He did it with Seattle right away. Now, here's the thing. They didn't get a bunch of new guys right away in Seattle. They got a couple guys. They got Sherman, a couple guys here, the Chancellor, Kemp Chancellor. But a lot of the guys were already there, and they added pieces along the way. But, man, that's why the first question I asked was, do you want to be a playoff contending team every year, or do you want to be a Super Bowl contending team? So if you want to be a Super Bowl contending team, I feel with the defense, not like you said, not a middle of the road defense. No, I think they need to be a top in the sniff in the top five defense. Then they'll be a Super Bowl contending team every year with Derek Carr, with him. If they don't have it, if they have that kind of mid, you know, whatever, teens defense, they'll be just be a playoff. There'll be another team.
Well, look, I get your formula. There's some holes in it, but I get your formula. But like, we got to play the hand we're dealt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We got to live in the world that we live in.
Gus Bradley and Gus Bradley, we trust.
What other choice do we have?
We don't have one.
You know,
it was made for us. And we don't have a choice anyway. You and I don't have a fucking choice. We don't fucking make any calls here, but I think he has proven he can do it. He has proven he can do it. And Gus Bradley had some nice defenses with the Jags too. They just couldn't score the fucking ball. So,
well, look, I mean, obviously we imploded and we lost to bad teams, but the Super Bowl could easily be the Chiefs versus the Saints. That is a very real possibility. Raiders beat both. So our ceiling is as high as it gets. We're the only team to beat the Chiefs this season. We beat three playoff teams, currently active playoff teams in divisional round. You know, if you add the Browns as well. So, like, obviously, there's a million things the Raiders need to fix, and we should actively be doing that. But our ceiling is as high as it gets. So the idea of changing quarterbacks or imploding anything on offense, it just doesn't make sense to me. It the formula we have is getting us in the right direction, and we know how good we can't. We know what the ceiling is. We just got to bring the defense up. It's just like this idea that, like, we have a top 10 offense. It's top seven offense with young receivers that underperformed, with a line that got complete, was like Swiss cheese with injuries and COVID. It's like that, improve the offense, right? Improve every position. We still need a good backup quarterback next season. I'm not against drafting a quarterback or signing another quarterback. And if that drafted or signed quarterback develops amazing and becomes better than Derek Carr, great.
There we go.
I'll be the first person to applaud. I'm not married to Derek Carr because of just Derek Carr. I'm married to the best option available, and that's currently Derek Carr. If we sign someone or draft someone who's better than him, I'll be doing backflips in the hallway. I'll be the happiest guy in the world. But to implode the offense or commit a first round, you know, commitment or something to a quarterback when that's our third or fourth best position, it just doesn't make any sense.
I agree.
You want to end this show the only way we know how?
Grind it. Do it.
Grind it.
We know you know all about Gruden's grinders.
Offensive linemen, defensive linemen, special teams players, backups.
But what do you know about Rory's grinders?
I think he's a great dude. I think he's got all the talent in the world.
You can't find me. I'll be the closest one on Grindr.
All right. So today's Soto's grinder / Rory's grinder.
Substitute grinder.
The fine LVPD who decided to not charge Josh Jacobs with a DUI after his accident. So thank you very much, Las Vegas Police Department, for not charging him with a DUI, even though he looked like he was having fun and drinking at that ghetto ass hood. Oh my God, that freaking karaoke bar, whatever he was at, those cheap lights, that looked rough.
That looked like a great time. I like to think like major metropolitans, not major, but like a decent sized city like Las Vegas, when it comes to their sports, they're just like small town Texas, like in Varsity Blues, where you could be buck naked with two cheerleaders in a stolen black and white shooting guns out the window and nothing will happen to you. And I feel like this is a first step, letting Josh Jacobs slide. I imagine those cops had like Raider t-shirts underneath their uniforms. I like that. Vegas is a lawless land and the Raiders can get away with anything.
Hey, it's a good free agent, so I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I I'm into that. All right, that's it for this show, Abu Dhabi edition. Next week, I'll still be out here. We'll get a new guest, and we'll have some more fun. But until then, knock on wood if you're with me. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Autumn Wingbats. We really appreciate it. And if you loved it, then we highly recommend you rate, like, subscribe, do all those good things to make sure we can spread the word about the Autumn Wingbats. Check us out on social media and all those good things. Until next time, later.